ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट 42 Tattata gaccha bhadrante Yamunayastatangshuchi Punyang madhubanam yatra Sanidhyang nityadahare. My dear boy, I therefore wish all good fortune for you. You should go to the bank of the Yamuna, where there is a virtuous forest named Madhuban, and there be purified. Just by going there, one draws nearer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always lives there. Both Narad Muni and Suniti, the mother of Dhruva Maharaj, advised Dhruva Maharaj to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, Narad Muni is especially giving directions how this worship of the Supreme Person can very quickly fructify. He recommends that Dhruva Maharaj go to the bank of the Yamuna, where there is a forest of the name Madhuban, and begin his meditation and worship there. Places of pilgrimage yield a special advantage for a devotee in quickly advancing his spiritual life. Lord Krishna lives everywhere, but still it is very easy to approach him in holy places of pilgrimage, because these places are inhabited by great sages. Lord Sri Krishna says that he lives wherever his devotees are chanting the glories of his transcendental activities. There are many places of pilgrimage in India, and especially prominent are Badri Narayana, Dwaraka, Rameshwar and Jagannath Puri. These sacred places are called the four dhams. Dham refers to a place where one can immediately contact the Supreme Lord. To go to Badri Narayana, one has to pass through Haridwar on the path to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, there are other holy places of pilgrimage such as Prayag, Allahabad and Mathura, and the topmost of them all is Vrindavan. Unless one is very advanced in spiritual life, it is recommended that he live in such holy places and execute devotional service there. But an advanced devotee like Narad Muni, who is engaged in preaching work, can serve the Supreme Lord anywhere. Sometimes he even goes to the hellish planets. Hellish planets do not affect Narad Muni because he is engaged in greatly responsible activities in devotional service. According to the statement of Narad Muni, Madhuban, which is still existing in the Vrindavan area in the district of Mathura, is a most sacred place. Many saintly persons still live there and engage in the devotional service of the Lord. There are 12 forests in the area of Vrindavan, and Madhuban is one of them. Pilgrims from all parts of India assemble together and visit all 12 of these forests. There are 5 forests on the eastern bank of the Yamuna: Bhadravan, Bilvavan, Lohavan, Bhandiravan and Mahavan. On the western side of the bank there are 7: Madhuban, Talavan, Kamudavan, Ahulavan, Kamyavan, Kadiravan and Vrindavan. In those 12 forests there are 12 ghats or bathing places. They are listed as follows: Avimukta, Adirudha, Guhya Tirtha, Prayag Tirtha, Kannakalla, Tindukar Tirtha, Surya Tirtha, Vataswami, Dhruvaghat. Dhruvaghat, where there are many nice trees of fruits and flowers, is famous because Dhruva Maharaj meditated and underwent severe penances there in an elevated spot. Rishi Tirtha, Moksha Tirtha, Buddha Tirtha, Gokarna, Krishna Ganga, Vaikuntha, Asikunda, Chatu Samudrika Kupa, Akrura Tirtha, where Krishna and Balaram were going to Mathura in the chariot given by Akrura. All of them took baths in this ghat. Yagyik Viprasthan, Kubjakupa, Rangasthal, Manchasthal, Malayudhasthan, and Dashashvamedha. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the prayers of Queen Kunti, there's a very nice verse. Let's see if I can remember it. Srimvanti, Gayanti, Vrinanti, Abhikshnasa, Smaranti, Nandanti, Tavehitam, Jana, Ta Eva Pashantya, Chirena, Tavakam, Bhava Prabaho, Paramang, Bhatam, Bhujam. Which means that Kunti Devi is praying to Krishna, O Krishna, those who continuously hear about and chant about your transcendental activities or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet. And therefore, they will never again see repeated birth and death. So this is the benefit of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada translated the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. It means the beautiful pastimes of the personality of Godhead, by hearing which, remembering which, chanting about which, discussing which, we hear about Krishna, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. We can get the same benefit as if Krishna came personally spoke to us by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna, the literary incarnation of Krishna, God in the form of a book. So the Bhagavatam is the discussion of Krishna, and certainly Krishna, he is not alone, just as the king is not alone in his kingdom. There's no meaning to be a king. Anyone can call himself a king, but you have to have subjects to be a king. And the greater kings have many subjects. Previously in India, there were kings, but you would find they were a king of one village or four villages. So that means they were a landlord, but still they were called a king. But the mighty kings were famous kings who were ruling over vast tracts of land. So the greatest of all kings is Krishna, because he's the king of all the universes. Therefore his one name is Mahindra. Generally Mahindra refers to Indra in the heavenly planets, but we'll also find this is one name for Krishna in Vishnu Sahasranam. Means he's the king of all living entities. So there are millions and billions of living entities, and the more great ones, their names are recorded in history books. Just like even now in America, even though they all died long ago, the names of Franklin, Washington, Roosevelt, Eisenhower, they're all remembered because they were great personalities in the history of America. And everyone has their idea of who's a great person. Among the scientists, people like Einstein and Heisenberg and Newton, they're considered great personalities. And among lovers of demoniac music, Hendrix and Joplin, they are remembered as great personalities. But here in Srimad Bhagavatam, we're discussing the greatest of greatest personalities, Sri Krishna, and his devotees, who are also great because they are great devotees of Krishna. That's real greatness. That Ramananda Rai, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai, Kirti Gana Madde, Kandaboro Kirti, among all kinds of glories, what is the greatest glory? And Ramananda Rai replied that to be remembered as a devotee of Krishna, that is the greatest achievement. So here we're discussing Dhruv Maharaj. He was a king, but we're not. Later on, he became the king of the Polestar, became king of a great planet. But we're not remembering him because of that. We're not discussing him because he's a big, powerful king, because so many kings come and go. But we're discussing Dhruv Maharaj because he's a great devotee of Krishna. And we also want to become devotees of Krishna. So we should hear about these devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam is the science of God. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate. It is the science of Bhagavat Tattva Vijnan, means the science of knowledge of God. By hearing this, one becomes liberated from all material contaminations simply by understanding Krishna. So in this book, there is so much philosophy describing the glories of Krishna, understanding who is Krishna, how he is great, how he is wonderful. But there are also many stories given herein. Here we're discussing the story of Dhruv Maharaj. But these are not just stories. Just like you can go to a movie and you can watch some story, some made-up story. But these are factual, but not only factual. Just like you can buy a biography. There are so many biographies of John F. Kennedy. There's so many biographies. If you go in a bookshop or the New York Public Library, you'll find big sections on biographies. But these stories, they're not just stories that we can read for entertainment, but they show us practically how Krishna reciprocates with his devotees, and how we can also follow in the footsteps of great devotees like Dhruv Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, and ourselves come to the same position of being great devotees of Krishna. This is our aim. Not that we want to be. I will be a great devotee. I will sit on a big seat and give a big lecture and everyone will praise me. Devotee doesn't want to be great. But a devotee of Krishna becomes great by becoming the humble servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. By having an intense mood of devotion to Krishna. So this is what is being taught here. This story of Dhruva Maharaj is being given just to show how we can become devotees. It's not just something that we're doing as a ritual, listening to this, but we're learning how we can also become devotees. Dhruva Maharaj is an example of a devotee who approached Krishna with a material desire. But he was very serious to worship Krishna. Yesterday, Giriraj Maharaj was speaking about this Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajita Purusham Param. How even if one has material desires, if he very powerfully worships Krishna, that is his proper position. That is his intelligent thing to do. So Dhruva Maharaj, he was approaching Krishna with a material desire, but he had full faith that Krishna will help me. And he took to the process very seriously. And he was blessed by the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master. And he followed them very carefully. And the result was that he became a pure devotee of Krishna. And not only were his material desires fulfilled, which were insignificant, but his inner heart's desire to be a pure devotee of Krishna, that was also fulfilled. Actually, everyone wants Krishna. Everyone is searching for Krishna. Some people are searching for Krishna in a hamburger or a glass of beer or everyone's looking for happiness. But the ultimate source of happiness is Krishna. Everyone's looking for Krishna, but they don't know it. Dhruva Maharaj, he went to Krishna thinking, let me get some material benefit. But he didn't realize that his actual benefit was not just in taking some material gain from Krishna, but in giving up all desires for material gain and fully surrendering to Krishna. So that is being taught in this Krishna conscious movement. There are so many spiritual masters. Spiritual master means he's following in the footsteps of Narad Muni, who teaches pure devotional service to Krishna. Why is Narad Muni glorified so much? There are so many spiritual or saintly people because he only teaches pure devotion to Krishna. He came to Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj said, I want to be a king. So Narad Muni said, okay, I'll teach you. But actually Narad, his purpose wasn't to teach Dhruva Maharaj how to become a materialistic enjoyer. His purpose was to give him the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet. So that is being taught in this movement. There are so many religious organizations, but this movement is different because in this organization is being, not only is there proper knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead being given, but the path of pure devotion, of surrender to Him, is being taught. Once Prabhupada was at Kumbh Mela. If you go to Kumbh Mela, that's a big festival in India where so many holy people and so many spiritual organizations come, and it becomes like a big city on the bank of the Ganga River, at the confluence of the Ganga and the Yamuna. Huge city of tents where there are so many different groups, and some people will be there meditating, some people will be there chanting, some people will be there giving discourses. There are so many different things going on. So Prabhupada, he asked his devotees that what is the difference between our movement and these other movements? There are so many organizations. What is the difference? Why should anyone follow Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada? Why don't they just go to another temple? Why should they stick to his group? So devotees offer different answers. Prabhupada said, the difference is that our movement is the back to Godhead movement. Means this movement is meant for sending everybody back home, back to Godhead. Not even halfway. Maybe you know there's a story in Ramayana and Mahabharata of Trishanku. He was a king, but he was, because of some impropriety, he was cursed to become a chandal. So then he asked the help of Vishvamitra. And Vishvamitra, because the kings in Vedic culture, they perform sacrifices so that they can go to the heavenly planets. So Trishanku saw, now my chances of going to the heavenly planets are spoiled. I've been cursed to become a Chandala, which means I'll have to suffer in hellish conditions. So he asked Vishvamitra to help him, because Vishvamitra had been doing so many austerities. He had a lot of power, and Vishvamitra wanted to show his power, because he had some, what nowadays they would call an inferiority complex, because he wasn't born as a Brahmin, he was also born as a king. Whereas all the other sages, they were all born as Brahmanas. So Vishvamitra did some mantras, by his power, he started sending Trishanku up to heaven. Even though he was a Chandala, means he was infested with sinful reaction. So the demigods, they didn't like this. And they started to push him down again. So then Vishvamitra said, well, if you don't let him into heaven, I'll make a new heaven. So he created a whole new heaven with Indra. So Indra became more upset. So in the end, Trishanku, he got left suspended in mid-air, halfway between the heavenly planets and the earthly planets. So in the same way, all these different spiritual groups, they may send you up somewhere, orbiting in space. You might go to the heavenly planets by following them, or you may go to the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, but you don't go back home, back to Godhead. If you want to go back home, back to Godhead, what do you have to do? You have to follow the correct means. You have to surrender to Krishna. So this Krishna conscious movement is teaching. When I say this Krishna conscious movement, I mean specifically this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because there are many groups which have come up. After Prabhupada gave his blood to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, now there are many swamis coming who advertise themselves. Yes, I was also a friend of Swamiji. He was my guru. And they'll say so many things. And they want to make followers in the West so they can get some name and fame and prestige and some money. But they can't make any, they don't have any potency to make followers themselves. So they'll all come here first. And says, yes, yes, I'm also, I like ISKCON and this and that. Then they'll give a little speech and tell a few jokes and sing a little, a few nice songs and attract a few people. Then they'll make their following, and then they'll make their following in America. And then they'll criticize ISKCON, ISKCON's no good, although they couldn't get any followers without coming to ISKCON. So in this way, there are so many different groups, but they're cheating people, because they're offering Krishna consciousness without paying the price, which is surrender. You have to surrender to Krishna, otherwise you can't go back to God. So in this Krishna conscious movement, the process of surrender, sharanagati, that is being taught. It's not just some imagination that you take initiation from someone without even following any principles in many cases, these so-called swamis. You just take initiation and that's it. But where's the process? In this movement, the process of surrender is being given. Especially our temples, and now of course we're expanding congregational preaching, and we're inviting people that yes, you can also take up Krishna consciousness in the home, there's no bar. But actually, if we are to be very frank, then if you take up Krishna consciousness living in the association of devotees, you're in a much better position to prosecute Krishna consciousness. You can also prosecute Krishna consciousness at home, but it's more difficult because of course, if you have determination, you can do it. But there's that big demon in the corner of your home called the TV, which you have a tendency to turn it on, or the kids are screaming, so let them watch TV. Then they become contaminated, and you also become contaminated. And it's just easy to get hypnotized by that one-eyed guru in the corner. That's one thing. Then you have to go to work and get money, and you have to associate with materialistic people. Whereas living in the temple actually affords an opportunity just to go straight on the path back home, back to Godhead. If you're living in the temple, then you don't have any other duty to do but to serve Guru and Krishna 24 hours a day. It's a wonderful opportunity. We can take this opportunity to go back to home, back to Godhead very easily. In the temple, we rise early in the morning. We attend the kirtans, we hear the classes, we chant Hare Krishna, and then we go out for service. And there may be so many difficulties in the service, there may be difficulties in temple life, that this devotee, I don't like the way he talks to me, or the way he looks at me, or whatever, whatever it may be. It's too cold in the winter, or too hot in the summer. There may be so many difficulties. Maya is always presenting difficulties to try to take away our enthusiasm. But actually, we should. What is the difficulty? As Prabhupada used to say, is one of Prabhupada's famous sayings. What is the difficulty? Once Prabhupada was giving a lecture on this verse. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam vaishyasi saptyam kir pratijane priyosin. Always think of me, become my devotee. Worship me, bow down to me, and this way you will surely come to me. I promise you this, Krishna says, because you are my very dear friend. If you only do this, think of Krishna, worship Krishna, bow down before him. Manmana bhava, become his devotee. Then Krishna says, you'll go to me. And then there's no more repeated birth and death. There's simply ecstasy, that's all. Krishna consciousness means ecstasy. Unlimited, transcendental bliss. So that is there for everybody. Krishna's saying openly, you can have this transcendental bliss. So Prabhupada is giving a lecture on this verse, Nandana Bhavamadvato, always think of Krishna. So Prabhupada opened the lecture by saying, so, what is the difficulty? Is there any difficulty to think of Krishna? And actually, what is the difficulty? We fill our minds up with so much garbage, but we can also think about Krishna. Instead of thinking about all my so-called material problems, we can think about Krishna. And that, especially the temple, is meant for creating an atmosphere in which we think of Krishna. Just like here in this temple, there are so many beautiful pictures of Krishna. And when you look at them, then automatically you think of Krishna. Whereas if you go on the street, then immediately you'll see so many things which immediately you think of Maya, because it's all Maya. But in the temple, you think of Krishna. And in the temple, we have class in the morning. It's not the news bulletin where they're discussing Maya. So they're discussing, well, there was this bank robbery and that earthquake and this politician said this and that. But it's all of the nature of Maya. It's all dry, dull, boring, and binding. Whereas in the temple, we discuss about Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the activities of Krishna, the devotees of Krishna. At least during this class, actually we should go on discussing regularly. Do you know, this is a nice quote for you, Priyatmadanga Prabhu. Prabhupada once said in Bombay that there should be classes continuously throughout the day. This is the purpose of the temple. There should be classes. Of course, Prabhupada sometimes also said that the devotees, they can attend class in the morning and evening and go out all day for sankirtan. But the point is, the Krishna conscious atmosphere by chanting, dancing, even the clothes we wear, they remind tilak, all these things, shaved head for ladies, sari, that reminds us of Krishna, because this, you don't see other people on the street who are not devotees of Krishna, they're not dressed like this, but when we dress like this, it reminds, oh, this is dress of the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, what is Krishna wearing? He's wearing dhoti also. He's not wearing Levi jeans or any kind of jeans, nor will he ever do that, because he like this is culture to wear this kind of cloth. This culture comes from Krishna. It's not the because Prabhupada was Indian, he wanted to dress everyone in Indian clothes. But he wanted to dress the devotees in the clothes that they were dressed in when you go to the spiritual world. So when you go to the spiritual world, the point is you're supposed to have already passed the bhakta program. That when you go there, you don't have to have someone show you how to put on dhoti, because you already know, because you're practicing all your life this culture of Krishna consciousness. Just like here we see Narad Muni is teaching Dhruva Maharaj in the culture of Krishna consciousness. Everything, food, clothing, of course. The main thing is hearing about Krishna, remembering about Krishna, remembering Krishna, so that it becomes completely natural that when we go, when we have to leave this body, that we just go on doing the same thing. So we get awarded a position in our next life according to, we get put in a place suitable for going on with the activities to which we are attracted to. That's why if we're attracted to live like a dog, then we'll get put in the body of a dog. If we're attracted to different kinds of sense gratification, then we'll be put in the material world in different positions. But if we're attracted to hear and chant about Krishna and serve Krishna, then we'll be put in the spiritual world, because that's the right place to do it. It's the great gift of Krishna consciousness. It's so simple, sublime. Prabhupada used to say, chant Hare Krishna and your life will be sublime. So simple, so wonderful. Just by chanting, all problems will be solved, all difficulties, just if we go on with this chanting. Material life is full of difficulties. You can't expect that. Sometimes devotees think, I'll come to this Krishna conscious movement and all of a sudden there'll be no more difficulties. You think there's going to be no more difficulties? There'll be some difficulties. Just like sometimes you may have a pain in your stomach, sometimes you have a pain in your back, or adhyatmik, adhidaivik, adhibhotik, sometimes too hot, too cold. Sometimes even with the temple, because we're conditioned souls trying to be devotees, there may be one devotee is not behaving so nicely to the other. But we have to have a broader vision that we're here to serve Krishna, to remember Krishna. So what does it matter if they're a little hot or cold or this or that? Or even if someone's saying something to you improperly, you shouldn't be disturbed. You think that's his problem, because he's frustrated, because he's in Maya, therefore he's talking like that. That's his difficulty, it's not my difficulty. No problem for me. Of course, if someone's telling me I'm doing something wrong, we should take note of that. But if someone unnecessarily is being unpleasant, then you should understand that person is suffering. Therefore, he's because of not being fully in Krishna consciousness, therefore they're talking like that. So this is the path given. We just have to stick to it. Straight, simple path, back home, back to Godhead. Wonderful path. Blissful path. We just have to follow. That's all. Just very nice life by Prabhupada's grace. We have these temples. We can live in these temples. Prabhupada has made this organization. So we can live in these temples. Chant Hare Krishna. Do some service. And cultivate Krishna consciousness. More and more and more. Go on with it throughout our lives. Of course, not only cultivate, but we have to fill up the temple also with others. We should actually pray for the problem. Not enough space. Now we have a big temple. Downstairs it says no more than 193 persons allowed. So we should be in anxiety that what's going to happen when we have more than 193 people living in the temple? Then we'll have to send them off to open a new temple. But we should think, why? Where are the 193 people? That is the anxiety of a devotee. Not that, well, I have a pain in my back or this or that. Isn't it? That's only the material body. Of course, we have to look after the body for Krishna's service. But the real problem is, so many people are not in Krishna consciousness. We should try to bring them in. Dedicate our life for this. If we dedicate our life for serving Krishna, then definitely we're going to go back home, back to Godhead. Once Prabhupada, he was asked this. He said, one devotee asked Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, is it really true that if we go on with Krishna consciousness throughout our lives, we'll go back to Godhead? And Prabhupada said, we're giving all our energy to bring others back to Godhead, and you think we're going to get left behind? You think we're making propaganda, we're canvassing, that was the word Prabhupada used, to send others back. You think Krishna is going to, Krishna is not going to recognize? Certainly. This is the path back to God. Now, of course, Maya is always offering so many different allurements, even in the name of Krishna consciousness, just like now. There's always some kind of different fashion. Now, you see, some of our leading devotees, for some special preaching, they're getting degrees in the university. So now many devotees are thinking, oh, I have to leave the temple and go to university. It's not for everybody. It's not that you have to go to the university, otherwise you can't become Krishna conscious. Rather the opposite. Prabhupada called these kami schools slaughterhouses, because they take you away, they bind you up in Maya. Joro vidya jato maya bhaiva tomar bhajane badha. Shangsha, what is it? Anitya shangshari, mohajanami anitya shangshari, jivke kare gadha. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's opinion. And his opinion means fact, because he's self-realized. He says that this material knowledge is simply another manifestation of illusion, Maya. And it is an obstacle in the path of worshipping Krishna. Because one thing is you fill your head up with all useless information. Another thing is you become puffed up because you think you know something. I know a lot of nonsense. I have a PhD in nonsense. That's all. All the PhDs, whatever it is, it's all nonsense. So, plow department, Prabhupada used to say. PhD means plow department. You should send them... Wait a minute, Narad, what's that? It means they should go and pull a plow, do something useful. So, I forgot you were doing your PhD. Oh well, I'll go on with what I'm saying. So, jivke gorya anitta shamsare moha janame simply increases your illusion in this temporary material world and makes you into a big ass. Why an ass? Because an ass carries a big burden, which is of no benefit to himself. So in the same way, you get so much material knowledge and it's a big burden on your head, is filled up with all this rubbish. Just like an ass. It's of no benefit to you. So rather we should fill up our head with Krishna consciousness, Krishna Katha. Instead of going to the Kami school, you go to Brihatmadanga school and you learn about Bhagavad Gita as it is, nectar of devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam. There's so much nectar in these books. It's so juicy, full of life. I remember before I joined this movement, I used to read a lot. Then there came a point when I just got sick of all these books, because I didn't know the terms at the time, but it's just different people's false ego is projected in all these books. But then, that Ravindra Sarup Prabhu also wrote that he thought he'd found the ultimate in Shakespeare, but then when he came to Srimad Bhagavatam, then he understood. This is the real thing, in comparison with which Shakespeare is nothing. So there's so much nectar in these books. You can read again and again and again, and you'll never get, if you're actually cultivating Krishna consciousness, you'll never get tired by reading these books. It's not that by, oh, I already read Srimad Bhagavatam. I read Srimad Bhagavatam. Did you read Srimad? Yeah, I finished. What's next? New York Times. No, you read again and again. And it's just amazing. I mean, I'm reading again and again. I've been doing it for years and years. I go to the end of Bhagavatam, and then I go to the beginning, and I start again. And it's just, you just get more and more and more realization every time, because Srimad Bhagavatam is unlimited. It's none different from Krishna. You can't say, I fully understood Krishna. That Brahma, he gives one verse, Jananta eva jananta kimba hutyam chame prabho. What is the next line? I forgot the next line. Anyway, the purport is that someone may say, I understood everything about Krishna. But Brahma says, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know. I can't even begin to imagine that I understood about Krishna. So this is our life. We don't have to go anywhere else or do anything else or get diverted by anything else. Just whatever we're doing, rising in the morning, chanting, studying Prabhupada's books, serving in the Sankirtan movement, it's a very simple path back home, back to Godhead. Don't get diverted this way, that way, the other way. There are so many diversions. Maya has unlimited diversions, even in the name of Krishna consciousness. But better we stick to the straight and narrow path and chant Hare Krishna, Vajra Krishna, Bolo Krishna, Karo Krishna Shikha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is his instructions? Worship Krishna. Yeah, Radha Govinda. Worship Radha Govinda. So fortunate. You see, inside here, this is just like, this temple is the spiritual world, and outside, it's definitely the material world. There's no doubt about it. Here is talking that Narad Muni sometimes goes to hell to preach. Once Prabhupada in London, one devotee, Krishna Vesha Devi Dasi, she asked Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, is Bhagavad Gita also spoken on the hellish planets? Prabhupada said, this London, it's not hellish enough. I'm speaking Bhagavad Gita here. This is hell. So, that's hell, and this is also hell. Hellish, dirty, smelly, Rajatama Channa. When Prabhupada saw America, his description, covered by the modes of passion and ignorance. And inside, spiritual world, Radha Govinda, are being worshipped here. So Bhaja Krishna, worship Krishna. Bolo Krishna, chant the names of Krishna. And Karo Krishna Shikha, study this wonderful information about Krishna. Anande Bolo Hari, Bhajya Vrindavan, Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Mojayaman. This is the whole process of Krishna consciousness, very simple. Anande Bolo Hari means chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That Prabhupada used to say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. In Krishna consciousness, being unhappy is against the rules. Because Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So you have to do what the Guru says, right? So he said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. You're not allowed to be unhappy. It's against the rules of this movement. No one's allowed to be unhappy. And actually, if you chant Hare Krishna, then you must be happy. If you're actually chanting Hare Krishna, then there's no question of unhappiness. Because chanting Hare Krishna means getting in contact with the reservoir of all pleasure, Sri Krishna. So, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Anande Balo Hari Bhajya Vrindavan. Worship Krishna in Vrindavan. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majiyaman. And absorb our minds and hearts in service to Guru and Vaishnavas. Such a nice process. Simple, straightforward, easy, blissful. In this life, and if we follow, we dance, chant Hare Krishna, we go on in this life. Then, next life we'll also be doing it. Dancing in the spiritual world with Krishna. So why not do it? Don't make other plans. We see so many devotees, they come, they spend some time, live in the temple, then they have some other plan. I'll go off and do this and that or something else. It's just Maya, that's all. We got the best, there's incomparable opportunity to serve Krishna and go back to Godhead. So don't get diverted by anything else. Just stick to this process. Make a lifetime commitment. Prabhupada said, just give this one life to Krishna. You'll not be the loser. We spend so many lifetimes serving Maya. As a cat, a dog, a mouse, a germ, a worm in stool, a demigod. Now we have the opportunity to serve Krishna and go back to Godhead. So let's not be diverted. Just like Dhruv Maharaj. The very name Dhruv means determined fixity of purpose. He was determined. I'm going to go through with this. What I'm doing, I'm going to do it. So that determination is required. Just to stick with this process. Go on, day after day, chant Hare Krishna. Don't do anything else. Fix the mind on this and prepare to go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Brihat Madanga Prabhu's question ki jai. Speak a little louder, please.
But at the same time, one doesn't feel that he's Krishna conscious, but yet he's giving Krishna consciousness to others. So, it appears that the process lends itself that.
It appears that a person's what?
It appears that the process lends itself that we have preached to others to become Krishna conscious.
Yeah.
So, how does one explain this?
Others what?
How do you explain that someone is not Krishna conscious, trying to be Krishna conscious, but has to preach to others, to make others Krishna conscious?
How can a person who's not fully Krishna conscious preach to others? Well, we preach according to what we've understood, just like if we understand. Chanting Hare Krishna is very nice. That much we can say. That's why we have to study also, so that we can present this philosophy. But we're, just like you may say, we're not fully Krishna conscious, but we are in somewhat of Krishna conscious by mercy of Guru and Krishna. So whatever is there, we should tell others. Why not? If we're experiencing that Krishna consciousness, even in our very neophyte stage, it's better than anything the material world has to offer. So that we can communicate to others. We have something, even if we're in a very neophyte stage, we have something very valuable to offer others. Knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Because even a beginning in Krishna consciousness is worth more than any achievement in the whole material world. There are so many big people in this material world. Clinton, Yeltsin, then Bill Gates is the richest man in the world, and Steve Jobs, and these are, and then we have in the sports world, big names. But even the most neophyte devotee living in the temple is definitely in a much better position than any of these people, because they're just They're just there for a little time, playing on a stage, being the president of America or whatever. But they're suffering because they don't know Krishna. And they're going to have to suffer repeated birth and death. Whereas even the beginning devotee is in the right position on the path back to Godhead. Chanting Hare Krishna once is more valuable than conquering all the planets of the material world. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna.